Welcome to the Strategy Driven Podcast, Vertically Cascading Organizational Performance Measures, Part 2 of 3. Hi, I'm Nathan Ives. Along with my co-host, Howard Dickens, we would like to welcome you to this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast, Vertically Cascading Organizational Performance Measures, Part 2 of 3. The Strategy Driven Podcast focuses on the tools and techniques executives and managers can use to improve their organization's alignment and accountability to ultimately achieve better results. These podcasts elaborate on the best practice and warning flag posts found on the Strategy Driven website at www.strategydriven.com. This podcast series examines the best practice of vertically cascading organizational performance measures, thereby aligning the actions of all employees to the direct achievement of the organization's mission goals. In part two, Howard and I discuss the five steps to create a system of vertically cascaded organizational performance measures anchored on mission goals. In episode five, Introduction to Organizational Performance Measures, we discussed the overarching qualities and characteristics of well-constructed performance measures that enable vertical cascading. As such, we believe you'll receive greater benefit and insight if you listen to that podcast prior to this one. And so, without any further delay, let's get started.
I bet there are a lot of people out there that are really agreeing with what you've said, that why these are important, especially if an organization wants to be strategy driven. But Nathan, how do we go about vertically cascading our organization's performance measures?
Howard, that's a great question, and this is going to take a minute. So this is a strap yourselves in for the ride here. The first and most critical step in creating a vertically cascaded performance measurement system is really defining the 1 to 3 goals representing the organization's mission. All the other measures are anchored on that point, you know, those mission measures, and then are cascaded down. So again, that's really was the focus of prioritize the mission. And again, we're going to encourage people to go listen to those casts if they haven't.
That's good. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not going to call this a step, but just to reinforce a principle that we've talked about and made steps in previous casts. As with making the mission measurable or prioritizing the mission, it's really critical to have that senior executive sponsorship and a multidiscipline team to commission, create, and approve the organization's performance measurement system.
That's right.
Yeah. And we're going to assume that for all these steps that are taken, that these steps that I'm going to talk about, the 1 through 5, that they're done by that multidiscipline team that was commissioned and is supported by a senior executive. But the bottom line, as we've talked about several times already with the last casts, is that it's important for the implementation that you have that senior executive sponsorship so that that person can drive the change. It's important to have the cross-disciplinary team so we gain understanding and buy-in across the whole organization to this measurement system, which is so integral to making a strategy driven. Okay?
Good.
Okay, so from a high level, identifying the body of performance measures that are going to comprise our organizational performance measurement system involves the 5 following steps. Okay. Step one. We're going to quantitatively define the organization's mission, ideally by one measure, but as we discussed in part 2 of the Prioritize the Mission podcast, most organizations will have three mission measures, and that is the most we recommend. So hopefully one won't be starting with more than that. Step two, we're going to identify all significant measurable contributors to the organization's mission measure. Okay? These should focus on the behaviors and results desired, or the desirable behavior and results that when combined will reflect the desired performance of that parent measure. In this case, the mission measures. Step three, we will assign a percent weighting factor to each of these contributing measures such that the total of all the weighting factors is 100%. And that's to help us have a relative importance between these measures.
That's good.
Okay. Step four is we're going to repeat steps two and three for each subsequently identified measure until the measures identified are directly attributable to the lowest level work group or individual contributor. So optimally, each measurement tier will align with an organizational tier, as we discussed before, thereby relating, you know, the individual's performance to mission achievement. Step five, we're going to examine the cumulative impact of each leg of the performance measurement system and eliminate those that have a low overall influence on the achievement of the organization's mission. Here, we're trying to balance the value of the measurement versus the cost in actually putting together the performance measure, because there can be a significant administrative cost or burden on the organization to put these things together. So again, this gets back to our weighting, and it's why weighting is important, as we suggest should be done in step three. Okay. All right. Well, that was the high level, and it's easier said than done. So, are you ready to get into some details?
Hey, let's get into some details, Nathan.
Okay. So starting with step one, quantitatively define the organization's mission. Okay, as we stated before, the quantitatively defined organization mission becomes the anchor point from which all other goals are cascaded. So because it is exceedingly difficult to serve those multiple masters, as we've talked about before, always best to have a single measure representing organizational success, or at most three. And those three should be prioritized, just like we're talking about weighting all the other measures. Mm-hmm. Again, please listen to Prioritize the Mission Part 2 of 2 to hear more on that. That'll wrap up step one. I'm gonna ask people to listen to Prioritize the Mission to get the how to weight the mission goals.
That's good.
And our rules of thumb. Yeah. Step two, we're going to identify all significant measurable contributors to the organization's mission measure. Okay. Identification of the contributing factors begins the cascading process here.
Okay.
So during this step, the selection team, this multidiscipline group, is going to examine the definition of the parent measure or measures, and then they're going to brainstorm the activities, the events, the behaviors based on their training, their experience, and benchmarking that they're going to do with other organizations to identify the contributors and influencers of the parent measures. All of those identified contributors and influencers are going to be recorded at this stage of our process. Now remember, performance is represented by a combination of the results achieved and the behaviors exhibited. So both of those should be considered as influencers of the parent measures and identified and considered and weighted ultimately, you know, accordingly. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to forget, you know, individual behaviors and just solely focus on results.
Sure, sure.
Now, when we consider also the broad range of contributors and influencers, it might be helpful to consider some of the categories, and I like very much the balanced scorecard that was described by Robert S. Kaplan and David P. Okay, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are familiar with the balanced scorecard, but they had four different categories of measurement, and they are financial, customer, learning and growth, and process. And it's not our goal to go through and discuss these in detail here, but rather I would reference the balanced scorecard, the book, and that would give you a more in-depth look at those. But those are categories to keep in mind when you're going through and looking for those contributors and influencers from a results and behavior basis.
Very good.
Okay. Step three, assign a weighting factor to each contributing measure such that the total weighting equals 100%. Okay. Assigning the weighting factors to each of the contributing measures can be both a quantitative and a qualitative process. So where historic data is available and there's, you know, logical, legitimate mathematical correlations between the parent and the child measures, we should use that mathematical information to create the correlation and subsequently use that as our definition or our weighting factors.
Okay.
So if we find ourselves in a position where we don't have any historical data within our organization, we can do a few other things. We can look to see if one of our benchmarking partners that we've referenced earlier, if they have maybe some historic data. There might be other historic data that's available to the general public. One that comes to mind was there was studies by the NTSB that correlates accidents on highways.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have for every, for instance, 600 near misses, there's on the order of 30, kind of bump and goes, 10 fairly significant fender benders, and then one fatality. Mm. So if we're doing something on, accidents, we might look to some other data as a starting point, such as that NTSB data.
Okay.
So other examples. If we are fully absent of any data, any studies whatsoever, we're going to fall back on, a qualitative basis. It's going to be based on our experience-based judgment in coming up with the initial weighting system. And it's something that after we've done our measurements for a while, we may come back and redo. But we're going to be experience-based to start with. Okay. And let me give an example here.
Good.
If you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay. Because I'm hoping our turnaround time example before wasn't a bit misleading. I want to mention if using turnaround time as an example, we talked about several child measures, onboarding and offboarding passengers, onloading and offloading luggage, servicing the plane and refueling the plane. We can't just add all those times together to get the turnaround time of the aircraft, because some of those activities are performed in parallel. So what we have to do is we have to look at that process and identify, much like we would in a project, what the critical path is. In other words, what are the most limiting activities, those that are going to take the longest period of time when put together, including dependencies. And so maybe refueling the plane and onloading and offloading the luggage, they're done in parallel with offloading passengers, servicing the airplane, and onloading the passengers, such that they never take longer than the activities of offloading and onboarding passengers and servicing the plane.
Mm.
those three activities are the critical path. So the whole luggage unloading and offloading and the refueling, we may measure those, but they're going to have a very low weighting factor because it's going to be very seldom that they impact the turnaround time of the airplane.
Mm.
So there's kind of an example to where we can use some mathematical data. We're going to apply some project management process to figure out, you know, what's the real contributors to this turnaround time parent measure. Okay. So again, hope I wasn't a bit misleading before, but that's some of the analysis we're going to do here in step three.
That's good.
Okay. Step four, we're just repeating steps two and three for each subsequently identified measure until the measures identified are directly attributable to the lowest level work group or individual contributor. So repeating the process is what extends our cascading of the measures all the way through the organization. And we continue the process until it's clear that the lowest tiered measures defined are directly influenced by the decisions and actions of the lowest level of work group or personnel within the organization. And then that is where we stop. We don't need to go into, you know, a lot of other things because they just don't add a lot of value. But we do need to go level by level till we get down to the lowest level of group in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just repeating two and three as our step four.
Got it.
Okay. Step five, examine the cumulative impact of each leg of the performance measure system, eliminating those that have low overall influence on achievement of the organization's mission. Okay. All measures are not created equally. Too many measures, as we said before, is really just an administrative burden, and it creates a lot of unnecessary noise that, you know, our decision makers have to filter through and recognize, you know, or be challenged to recognize conditions that are really impactful to the organization. So we don't want to have a lot of low-value measures. On the other hand, too few measures limit management's ability to actually see the organization's performance. So that, to a different extreme, hinders the decision-making process.
Hmm.
So this step is to capture the concept that, hey, we need to have a balance between having too many measures and, on the other side, having a complete performance picture that supports the management decision-making process. Okay, so during this step, measures monitoring those items that have a low overall contribution to the mission are just simply going to be eliminated. Again, this gets back to our weighting.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start initially at the lowest measurement tier. We're going to identify those measures having the lowest weighting as candidates for elimination. And then, similarly, we're just going to work our way up to the next level of measures, and so on and so on. Now, we need to be careful. We can't simply arbitrarily eliminate an item much higher up the food chain, as it were, because it has a low weighting. Because if we eliminate that measure, all the measures below it go away also.
Mm.
And some of those might be important. So it's important to consider the ramifications up and down the measurement chain.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why we start at the bottom. Okay. So that's just kind of a caution. And we're going to just continue to repeat step five until we feel we've, you know, combed out all those extraneous measures, and we've achieved that balance we're looking for. And that wraps us up. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Strategy Driven Podcast. We look forward to having you join us for part three of Vertically Cascading Organizational Performance Measures. We would appreciate receiving your feedback by email at podcast@strategydriven.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider voting for us on Podcast Alley and visiting our website at www.strategydriven.com. Note that additional information regarding organizational performance measures is contained within the many organizational performance measures white papers accessible by registered members on the Strategy Driven website. And registration is always free. So until next time, so long.